Warning!
The podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words you use as a doll anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea anyway.
Any moment of the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead, real or fictional, or real events are entirely coincidental and unintentional.
Unless we're specifically noted otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated, and no celebrity has endorsed any aspect of this show.
Ricky Gervais.
Hello. It's great to be here at the Emmys, the most prestigious TV award show in the world. I couldn't come last year, which is a shame, but I still won. Do you remember? Thanks for that. The press called it a major upset, which means they thought I shouldn't have won. I saw that. They've asked me to give you some pointers on how to make a good acceptance speech. I don't know why. As I said, I've never made one. I wasn't here. Still won, though. Keep it short. Please, keep it short. Particularly if you're not on-screen talent. No one wants to hear from a producer. Don't cry. It's pathetic. It's just an award. Here's a short VT as a guide to help you.
Oh my God, no way. Listen, and the list goes on and on.
To my son, Michael, I promised I would do this.
Wrap it up.
Please wrap up. I thank them too.
And my favorite shows on television were always, the Oscars and the Emmys. The last time that I won one of these was 30 years ago.
I have 30 seconds to tell you that I've been waiting 60 years to get up on this stage.
Ricky Gervais couldn't be here tonight, so instead we're going to give this to our friend Steve Carell.
Look at his stupid face. Couldn't actually win one of his own, so he stole someone else's. I don't think that is actually the original Emmy. I think that's a shoddy remake. Where is he? Oh, there in the front row. Just... just in case you have to make a dash for it. Have you got it on you? I've heard you carry it around with you to get in restaurants and stuff. I made you what? Don't look at me. I'm gone off road. Everyone's getting nervous now. There's nothing on the auto cue. I can do anything. This is live. I made you what you are and I get nothing back. Have you even been to see Ghost Town yet? No. I sat through Heaven Almighty. Give me my Emmy. Give me my Emmy. I'll come down there. Give me it. I'll tickle you. I don't care. I've got nothing to lose here. I'm a nobody here. Where is it? Yes, you have.
Stop.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Give me it. Give me the Emmy. Give me the Emmy. Give me the Emmy. Give me it. Give me the... Thank you. Right. Good. That's settled. These are the nominees for directing for a variety, music or comedy programme.
Hey everyone, welcome out to The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. We are sans John tonight, but we worked out...
Once more.
But the initial thing is we had a blackout here in Ohio, if you heard of any of that. Long story
short. We did?
Yeah, we did.
Both of our powers were off until Thursday evening, from Sunday afternoon to Thursday evening.
Right, and initially we weren't going to do a shoot until next Sunday. We even got John Lofton on the time in terms of recording the show. But we realized it's been 2 weeks since we stopped doing the show, so we realized, being at last minute, we couldn't get John to come up today. Me and Jimmy would just do it again ourselves. So we'll have John next week, but Jimmy might not be here next week, so we don't know.
We'll see. I'm not sure. And I completely forgot that I visited Nathan Haley yesterday, and he wanted to come up tonight and do this, and I completely forgot to, like...
You visited Nathan Haley?
I did, because I was on my way out to West Jeff, and Morgan had yet to meet him, and I'm like, let's stop by real quick.
He saw a picture of her, and...
Yeah,
he,
so we hung out with Wendy and Nathan for a while.
Did he remember that?
No.
He saw the picture?
No.
I love Nathan, he's an idiot.
For a while. He was very polite to her, but then he started being mean to me. Anyway...
Well, duh. That's,
I know. It was really fun, though.
Jimmy, if
I love
if
Nathan
didn't
Wendy.
Do that,
oh, I love Nathan Wendy.
Be.
Exactly. Wouldn't it be Nathan? No, we had
it
a very
wouldn't be
good
your
visit.
Friends, because all your friends, except for... No, even Amanda gets some digs in on you.
Morgan's starting to dig on me more and more.
I know, because she sees it turns you on.
Mm.
No,
it
I'm
does
kidding.
Not turn me on. Otherwise, I would have turned you or Nathan over the desk a long time ago.
Wow, that makes me sad and also scary. Okay, so we got a lot
scary
of stuff to go.
Scary or scared?
Both.
Okay.
We got a lot of stuff to
email,
go tonight.
Quick. Email, you go first.
I don't have an email.
Sure you do.
No, I don't. I really don't.
I've got one for you.
Oh,
dear
God.
Nick, Jimmy, and John. This one is mostly directed at Nick. Why is Jimmy sounding like his mouth is full right now?
Mm. Wow, that's a great, great...
Ooh, a great email?
That was a great email.
Oh, that is a great email.
John, why don't you take that one?
John's not here.
I like it when my brain's not really here either, because then I go, hey, John, what do you think? And then it's just like, oh, okay, John, well said. I don't know. He's eating food. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, oh, my
tacos.
God. Hey, here's my next email. Hey, Jimmy, what's Nick doing?
Nick's drinking Sprite.
There, we have our two emails.
Woo!
All right, Jimmy, go for it.
Oh, damn. I'm still eating.
Well, you just so take your meat. Time. Take your time.
Okay.
Just eat and then record as we go along.
Okay.
I'm not going to edit it out, though, because I'm lazy.
That's fine. So anyway, have you heard about the big movie poster controversy with Zach and Miri?
Yeah, that was messed up.
I think they're wearing clothes. I don't think it should matter. I mean, it does look like they're giving each other blowjobs or oral sex.
But you're also not a parent. I mean, from a parent's point of view, I can sort of see that. I mean, being that I not have a kid, I am sort of outraged as well. But at the same time, I can see my, you know, as a parent going, why are they showing that in the theater where everyone can view it? But at the same time, I don't know, I'm also a Kevin Smith fan, so
but
I don't
They are fully clothed. I actually saw a trailer for it today and it wasn't very funny, which is sad. Because everything I've heard about the movie, that's great. So I'm not going... I'm going to ignore
I don't
the
think you're going to like it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why I said that. I just said that to be interesting. But I really don't think you're going to like it.
I predict I'm going to love it. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, Jon Favreau, they were talking to him about doing Iron Man 2.
Yes.
And he wants to do it in 3D.
Well, no, not entirely. You know,
no, he wants to do it entirely in 3D, if the studio...
Oh, I thought he wanted... No, that's not what I heard. I thought he wanted to do it in IMAX.
Right, IMAX is 3D. He wanted to do it in IMAX 3D. Only not, like... The Dark Knight was released in IMAX 3D, but only certain scenes were shot that way.
But you can only do 4 seconds of film at a time.
Well, he wants to shoot the entire movie in IMAX 3D.
Which, well, good for him, but good luck with that, because I like when their character's talking, and we don't have to keep constantly going, cut away...
Now, I did say the main villain for the third movie will be the Ten Rings guy, and
the
they'll
Mandarin.
Introduce him in the second movie
the
to,
Mandarin.
Like, set it up, and that Downey's character will probably become an Alky, and somebody else will have to take over the suit, like the comic books were.
Yeah, Terrence Howard's character.
Mm-hmm. Also, in superhero movie news, Sam Raimi wants to shoot... Is it Sam Raimi? Maybe. They want to shoot Spider-Man 4 and 5 together at the same time.
Well, Sony said that a while ago. It was just a matter of, will they get Sam Raimi to return, and also will they get Tobey Maguire to return?
I thought the article I read said they were both returning, but they were going to do it
together. No, they are. They are returning.
Okay.
Okay, I'm one of the few people that don't understand the outcry to ousting Sam Raimi. I agree that the third movie was absolute horseshit. But compared to the first two, yeah.
If you're not comparing it to the first two, it was quite good.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It, oh, God, no. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I'm getting sick. I'm feeling sick talking about it. In terms of a good light. No.
There's a lot.
No, in a good light. I'm talking about in the fact that they don't know if Kirsten Dunst is coming back or not, which I don't really care.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I like the Mary Jane
character.
Then
maybe they could actually play up Gwen Stacy's character more.
Yes, and then kill her, then bring back Mary Jane.
Yeah, that would work for a movie. Keep Mary Jane out of the fourth one and put in Gwen as the
one. Yeah, but I'm also afraid that they're going to make it like be all dark and whatever, like The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which Spider-Man is not that dark.
No,
the only characters that were ever that dark were the first Green Goblin when he killed Gwen Stacy, and that wasn't even really that dark, and then it was Venom and Carnage.
Mm.
And Venom, they fucked that up. Anyway, go ahead.
Stephen Chow is going to play Kato in The Green Hornet that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg are working on.
Cool.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either, but I Seth Rogen, cool.
Yeah, I always love Seth Rogen. Also, Alias movie is a possibility. They were interviewing J.J. Abrams, and he would really like to do an Alias movie. It depends on Jennifer Garner's schedule. If Jennifer Garner's interested, then they'll do it. They said he would leave Arvin Sloan dead, which would be very, very sad, but at the same time, he'd kind of have to do it. J.J. also said he would not do the Lost finale because he didn't feel that was fair. He would like to be involved in the final season somewhat, but after leaving the show for so long, he doesn't think it would be fair for him to come in and just...
I really don't care about J.J. Abrams on Lost anymore because the show actually done well without him.
It has, and that's why he's...
And it's not his baby to begin with.
I know, but he was...
Honestly, looking back...
He was a driving force in it, but...
Beyond that, he didn't really...
And that's why...
I think that's why he stuck with it or stood by it the first season. And once it took off, he's like, you don't need me anymore. Fuck you.
Yeah, I don't know. But...
Oh, but speaking of J.J. Abrams, there was released about William Shatner in the new Star Trek movie.
I was just pulling that up because I remembered seeing that
one. Well, apparently, you know how he publicly said that he was not going to... He was never offered a role, but even if he was, he wouldn't do it because he wants the movie to be about him, about older Kirk.
Right.
Well, J.J. Abrams responded, it was very tricky. We actually had written a scene with him in it that was a flashback kind of thing, but the truth is it didn't quite feel right. The fucking cell phone.
Sorry.
The bigger thing was that he was very vocal that he didn't want to do a cameo. We tried desperately to put him in the movie, but he was making it very clear that he wanted to do a movie to focus on him significantly, which, frankly, he deserves. The truth is a story that we were telling quite a certain adherence to the Trek canon and consistency of storytelling, which I think is funny because the following up to that point... This part's important. Maybe a smarter group of filmmakers could have figured out how to resolve that. So the person on Ain't It Cool News responds with, would a smarter group of filmmakers have written a story in which an aged Spock travels back in time to Kirk's Starfleet Academy days to avert some Romulan mischief? Would those filmmakers have had Spock, since he's gone to the trouble of jumping back to Kirk's youth, maybe hand a Marty McFly note to young Kirk warning him to steer clear of Enterprise's B maiden voyage? Would those filmmakers have shot a scene in which Spock returns to the future to greet a resurrected Kirk sharing a cocktail with Admiral Sulu?
That would have been cool.
Would those smarter filmmakers go to elaborate lengths to keep 77-year-old Shatner's appearance a secret? I guess we'll never know. And Shatner posted a YouTube video about it, saying his thoughts.
Yeah, I didn't watch the Shatner video, but it does make me sad.
Wait, let me see if I can try to cue it up.
You would have put that if it doesn't fit. You said in your statement you were having trouble fitting it in anyway. But nobody ever asked me, and I'm just sorry that I'm not in your wonderful movie, and I would have loved to have been. And if you make another one, maybe you can think of ways of bringing me Captain Kirk back to life.
That's a very classy
and after that,
uncharacteristic, very classy response.
You know, and after that, he starts kissing ass, saying, you know what, JJ, I've met you. You're a wonderful man. You're a great man. Remember, I hope to work with you again someday, because you went to Boston Legal a few times. I had a great time.
This is like the episode of Shatner, though, because I have lots of other things about Shatner, but some of them don't fit in this particular part of the podcast.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just saying this podcast should be called The Shat, because The Shat hit the fan. The Shat hit the fan because our power was out. Oh, I got lots about The Shat. Never mind, or not. Universal says no to Spielberg and Jackson's Tintin, and Paramount says we got this.
Well done in reading a title from Ain't It Cool News.
Universal has always been Spielberg's safe haven. I'm totally plagiarizing and reading straight off the screen. It's where he got his start in Hollywood, and it's probably a studio that will distribute most of DreamWorks' product.
And yet, you know, now that Spielberg has split from Paramount, and yet Universal would not do Tintin.
Well, here's the thing, though. This is the reason why they stopped that, and that is Spielberg and Jackson, who had also produced both movies, would together grab about 30% of the studio's total gross revenue from the box office, mm-hmm. DVD, and other crap before Universal and DreamWorks can even make a profit on it, which means the pair would have to walk away with more than $100 million. So, according to that, the movie would have to gross $425 million worldwide just to even break even.
I see that.
And that's just, wow. I mean, before that, they would rake in tons of money before that would even happen.
But somebody's going to make it because it's Spielberg and Jackson. So,
bravo to them, I say. Bravo to them.
What more movie news do I have? Do I have more movie news? I was trying to, like, review my other stuff, too, to see if I had more movie. I don't. A Colbert Christmas, The Greatest Gift of All, is a 58-minute special that will be hitting DVD around Thanksgiving, where Colbert sings with many of his frequent guests to his show and stuff. So that'll be fun. I already pre-ordered it, of course.
We'll definitely be having a review.
What? Oh, yeah, we will.
I was mocking you, Jimmy.
Oh, we will be having a review.
Because I know for a fact you'll be like, guess what I got in? We'll totally review it on the show. I got the Colbert Christmas DVD.
Colbert.
What? It's Colbert.
Not Colbert. He may have grown up Colbert, but he's Colbert now.
Oh, my God. You know, I dropped out of his little club on Facebook. Because there was no point to it whatsoever at all.
We're moving on to TV, which is where the majority of our podcast will sit this week.
Oh, God.
Dollhouse is on a 2-week hiatus while Joss writes more episodes because he was contractually obligated to write a certain number of episodes. And with the remaking of the new pilot that's going to go before the pilot they already filmed, he directed 2 of the first 3 episodes and just did not have time to get more written. So they're on break. George Takei got married, by the way.
He's gay.
Yes, he married his longtime partner. Jennifer Lopez dropped out of guest judging the Project Runway finale because of a foot injury, and then like 4 days later was in a race. Did you see that?
No. Well, I heard she dropped out, but I didn't hear about she was in a race.
Yeah, she was in a race with like Matthew McConaughey and some other people. And yeah.
Well,
like
I just heard about
later.
The Matthew McConaughey thing where he got into a fight with a paparazzi and TMZ was suing him or something. That's all I heard about that race. Wow.
And the Emmys are on tonight. Of course, we don't know how we're doing because even though results are being posted because it's almost 10 o'clock at night, and the Emmys are more than halfway over, John still has our Emmy pick list. And he is not here. And I texted
him. So far, I think I'm winning.
You think so?
I think so because Recount, so? Mm-hmm. Recount, Laura Linney, Diane Weiss.
I think Weiss. I said the same. Laura
no, Jenny Jeremy Laura Piven,
mm-hmm.
Recount.
I don't know.
Now, you did get... Oh, I also said the Don Rickles project, and all of you just go, Don Rickles, no one cares about him anymore.
I think I did not vote
Kathy Griffin, though, which I
did. Did I vote for Kathy?
Yes, you did.
I did.
I think you have Jean Smart, too, because she was on Samantha Who and Damages. So you have 3, but I think I've guessed all
Damages
the ones
won
correct.
What?
Damages won for supporting actor in a drama series. Zeko of Venice.
That, I got him. I totally got him. I said, there's justice. And what Daily Show win for?
Daily Show on for Outstanding Variety Music or Comedy Series.
Anyway, next week we'll have the complete Emmy coverage
results. Yeah. This is just us like generally just looking at it right now as it's hitting. So.
And the earlier Emmy news, like before the real Emmys, there's like the earlier Emmys, you know what I mean? Where they give out awards that aren't as big a project. There were some good winners this year. Cynthia Nixon won for her guest spot on Law & Order SVU. Catherine Justin, who is my favorite from West Wing when she was the secretary, has been a reoccurring on Desperate Housewives, and she just won for Desperate Housewives. And Tim Conway won for his guest stint on 30 Rock. Hugh Laurie signed on to do 4 more seasons of House for a very lot of money.
I'm fine with that.
I am too. Now that I'm free from... Sarah and I were talking, and we decided we don't have time to watch House and Battlestar together, especially because she moved to Dayton, so she's freed me to watch
she
House.
She moved to Dayton?
Face. Yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
She had a job. Just a friend of ours, and then new at the show.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah, she got a job, so she moved to Dayton like 2 weeks ago, but she's going to be up here and still continue to watch Battlestar with me, but we had to pick one to drop, because, you know, I'll probably be moving in like 9 months. So
all right, stop.
back.
We had to take a little break.
To talk about personal news.
Personal thing,
so,
yeah.
So she's freed me to watch House on my own schedule was the bottom line. So I'm going to be plowing through that as quickly as I can. So I can.
Keyword there, plow.
Plow. I want to be caught up by Christmas. That's my goal.
Make the, me making the fuck sign with my hands while I say plow.
Oh, Rose McGowan is going to replace Katie Sackhoff on Nip Tuck because Sackhoff's cop pilot was picked up for NBC. It's by Dick Wolf called Lost and Found. The girl who played Alex on Lost joined the cast of Cold Case. And Gary Cole is going to be Sarah's dad on Chuck. Two new cast members are joining Grey's, a new intern and a junior McDreamy. If they do well, they'll be upgraded to full-time. They're just reoccurring right now. Kevin McKidd is going to play Christina's new love interest and is really hitting it off. They're expecting him to be a full-time cast member by mid-season. Shannon Doherty is done with her four episodes for 90210. She had been asked to do more, but she had another project, but she says she's unlikely to do more. Jenny Garth has been picked up for a total of 11 episodes of that
show. No, she's not. It says that. I know it says that, but Ocello just had a clip from tonight from her saying that she's not been signed yet.
That news broke like 2 weeks ago.
No, the news broke 2 weeks ago. The news that she's not actually doing 11.
The 11 broke 2 weeks ago, and now they're coming back?
Well, yeah, he asked her at the Emmy party tonight.
Okay.
And she said, you know what? I don't know how that got out. I don't know why you broke it, but there's nothing officially done yet, and I don't think I'm going to return.
Oh, okay. That's too bad, because the one episode I've watched is the pilot. I really liked her. She was the best part about the pilot to me. And I didn't watch the old show, but... Wallace Shawn is joining Gossip Girl as Serena's new boyfriend's dad. And in the books, he becomes Serena's stepdad. So that really hot woman from Gossip Girl is going to marry Wallace Shawn? That is a little disturbing to me. And this news is kind of outdated, kind of already nil. Lorne Michaels was courting Tina Fey to do Palin in Sketches. That lame Casey girl was going to do Palin. If Tina Fey wasn't available, but as you may have already seen, because it was like over a week ago, Tina Fey did appear on the season premiere doing Sarah Palin, and I'll talk about it during the reviews. And they're trying to get Maya Rudolph back to guest star to play Michelle Obama. There's also a new cast member who is Belushi or Sans-esque is what they're calling him. I think he was okay so far. And they are currently searching for a female cast member to replace Amy Poehler in November when she leaves. Also, the word is Seth Meyers will probably do Weekend Update by himself, which has not happened, I believe, since Norm Macdonald did Weekend Update.
Yeah.
And the Thursday night update specials are going to be not just updates, they're also going to throw in some sketches, the pre-election Thursday night specials.
Mm-hmm.
And after season 5 comes out on DVD, which is really soon, they may skip ahead to a different season instead of just going in order, because the first 5 was what they had planned to put out because it was the original cast. But then the original cast was gone by season 6, and season 6 is, I guess, generally considered to be their worst season they ever released. So while they may eventually release it, they probably won't go straight into season 6.
That's bullshit.
That's what they say. And I do agree that it's on an uptick right now. Now, I only watched half of last night's episode, and it wasn't very good. But Saturday Night Live is on the upper part of the wave right now. After the wave crested after Farrell left, of course, and it was down for a couple years, but it's back up right now. So,
he said they
may start in the 80s, they may start in the 90s, they may jump to the current cast. The plan is to eventually release every season, but right now they may not stay in order.
Why don't they just do what The Simpsons do and they'll be fine?
I know, I agree.
Which is, it takes a long time to get to it, but like just twice a year. You know what, that's
better
than not.
It'll eventually catch up.
Because lately it was like, what, once a year?
Well, the first one was released, and that was a whole year before the second one, but they've already released number 3, and I know number 4 will be out by Christmas. I think they're going to try to push number 4 and 5 out real quick, so 5 will be out first of the year.
Well, I feel a little bit better about that, but I, personally, just because the season sucked doesn't mean that should be a...
There's also, and other news now, I'm moving to my more random news that I hadn't got a chance. Mark Valley may return to Boston Legal for part of their final season, which is funny because he's a main character on Fringe. But whatever. Old Christine stages a new Seinfeld reunion. Her former Seinfeld boyfriend, Tim Decay, he was the Bizarro Jerry member, is joining the cast of New Adventures of Old Christine for 3 episodes.
Yeah.
Just for 3 episodes. He was last seen as Jonesy on Carnival for HBO. And we'll be playing a love interest for Christine. Ooh. I am going to watch the premiere where she marries Barb, by the way. I don't know if I'll keep watching it, but I'm going to watch the premiere.
The premiere of what?
New Adventures of Old Christine.
Oh, you don't know if you're going to keep watching it, though?
Well, because Morgan canceled my season pass, but I have to tune in and see her marry Barb. I just got to.
That's one of the shows that was canceled?
One of my season passes that I dropped. I did drop Attack of the Show again. Because after having it off for a week for the power outage, I dropped it again.
Actually you who dropped it, though.
Oh, well, Christine? No, it wasn't. And I may tune in just long enough on Ghost Whisper to see Jim die and then tune back out, but we'll see. Former tank girl Lori Petty is checking on the house for multiple episodes while playing a patient with Huntington's disease. It will rattle 13, Olivia Wilde, who, as you know, was diagnosed with the Big H in the show's season finale.
The Big H.
Huntington's disease.
I know what Huntington's is.
Okay. Spoilers on Grey's Anatomy and such. I can't read that. It doesn't really tell me. Never mind.
Never mind.
There were spoilers, but I can't read them.
Didn't want to know it anyway.
Because they're on another screen. I didn't think I would have a signal. Well, I'm going to open that up and come back to it later. Because I got more news to talk about. Ugly Betty, Scoop, Henry, and Gio will be back. Who cares? Shark attorney Sarah Carter. I liked her on Shark. Most of the first season that I watched is headed to Dirty Sexy Money for 2 episodes. Scott Wolf will join Rumor Willis and Julia Orman on CSI New York's 100th episode. Swingtown's Brittany Robertson and Jesse McCartney and Debbie Mazar are going to be in Law & Order SVU. And Jessica Walter's character is going to go to rehab, probably. See, not all these news I would normally talk about, but I got to scan the news real quickly, so whatever.
That's fine.
They've got a big backlash about the news of killing off Jennifer Love Hewitt's husband.
Yeah,
they're not sure they're going to kill him now.
No.
Or they might make it a dream or do something to go back on it.
No.
They're not sure. The creator says he's sure fans will be satisfied, but who knows if
he said that it will have a lasting impact on the death.
But we'll see.
Which means that that's their way of trying to say, we're going to make it really emotional, and we might keep him around a few episodes, and then we'll get rid of him.
Cast Sarah Chalk's sister on How I Met Your Mother. They'd already cast her, now they can't. That actress is out, and they've hired a new one. It's One Tree Hill girl, Danielle Harris.
Right, but the other girl that they were recasting for, mm-hmm. they're trying to find a role for her on the show still.
Yeah, it says that's what they said, because why did they adored her. So,
but they felt she wasn't right. AKA,
so they needed an older actress, they said.
I don't buy that.
Looking at her, I do think she's a little young for the part. But, I think the other girl is more age appropriate.
Isn't it supposed to be the younger sister?
But still. And Jason Jones is coming on the show as Stella's ex and father of her kid. Jason Jones from The Daily Show. That's fantastic. Now I'm...
Awesome. Who is he? Awesome.
Which is... And for other reasons Othello can't get into right now, he's backing away from his prediction that Stella Sarachok is the infamous mother of How I Met Your Mother. Which I totally didn't think was
her sister?
Maybe. Maybe that's why they didn't want such a young girl to play opposite Ted.
Snap.
Anyway.
We are knocking them out of the park today, boys and girls.
The House Cuddy Kiss? What?
Yeah.
House
episode
Cuddy
6,
Kiss?
Even though he says it's episode 7. It's actually episode 6.
In his defense, he had just downed the third glass of Chardonnay.
We're talking about Mike Othello, everybody, which is one of our sources for our show.
One of our two major sources.
Yes.
That's all I got on the cello. I still got a few Ain't It Cools to scan real quick. DVD picks.
There's not been really a lot, honestly, on the Ain't Cool side, because movie news has been mostly dry.
They're releasing a 20-episode Star Trek Alternate Realities DVD set. It has 4 original series episodes, even though the one went into the Mirror Universe, and then it's got 3 other ones. 4 Next Generation episodes, which are some of the best ones, like Inner Light, Yesterday's Enterprise. 4 Deep Space Nine episodes. It looks like they're all the Mirror Universe Deep Space Nine. 4 Voyager episodes... Which are, of course, they didn't do a Mirror Universe, but they've got alternate reality. And then 4 or Enterprise episodes, including the Mirror Universe Enterprise episodes. So, and it's only $28 for all 20 episodes. That's pretty cool. If you want to just, like, get some of the best Star Trek episodes. I, of course, have all the seasons, so I would not be buying that.
Jimmy doesn't need the best because he has them all.
Exactly. Well, except I don't have the animated series. I have it on VCD, but not on regular DVD.
Well, that's a penance you will forever have to live with.
They just released a new DVD edition of the High School Flashback Collection, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, and Weird Science. I know that had been out for a while. I don't know why it's...
Is it the yearbook edition? It comes like a little book?
It looks like a locker. It's the Flashback Collection.
Oh my god. I don't want to pay for that. I want to get the yearbook edition.
Is the yearbook the one that was already out?
Yeah, it was supposed to be with an extra disc of special features for both movies or whatever. And then it was like in a little binder, like a high school yearbook binder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I thought it looked neat.
Here's the...
You've never seen that before?
What? Breakfast Club? None of those movies.
Are you kidding me?
No. Why would I?
Wow. Okay, folks. He has not even seen the Breakfast Club. Was it Pretty in Pink?
Yes. Well, that wasn't on there, but I haven't seen that either.
Well, what's
Breakfast
on there?
Club, Weird Science, and I don't know. I already closed the other one.
Speaking of Robert Downey Jr.,
I haven't seen any of those
great
movies.
Role.
Any of those John Hughes movies.
A great job. And then you also got The Godfather you've not seen.
I've got so much I've not seen. And you could take I Need to Give Your Godfather Back to Your Dad, or did I already? Because Amanda has it. Also, the next two Saturday Night Live hosts, well, James Franco was last night, and Anna Faris is next week.
Anna Faris.
I like Anna Faris. She's very funny.
Anna Faris.
I'll review the half of the James Franco that I saw when we get to it. CBS orders a second season of Canada's Flashpoint. I watched like two episodes. I just can't get into it. It had Amy Jo Johnson, who was the Pink Power Ranger in Felicity, you know, and the father from Veronica Mars. Whatever.
Steve Guttenberg?
No, Enrico, whatever his name is.
Oh, that started?
At the beginning of the summer? Late spring? I watched the first couple episodes when we were still living together.
What channel was it?
CBS? Fridays?
They did have numbers on it. Okay.
Because it was summer. It ran in the summer here, but I guess it's a Canadian show. Red Dwarf is doing 4 half-hour Red Dwarf specials. Is that a series?
Yeah.
Looks like it is. I don't know anything about Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf.
Anthony Edwards says Clooney would be a fool not to return for the finale.
Didn't we announce at the last show?
We talked about who may or may not do it. This is a new interview where he says Clooney would be a fool.
Yeah, because he is coming back.
He remains friendly with producers and let him shoot a scene of his short-lived HBO series on the medical drama set 3 years ago, but he hasn't agreed to come or turned it down either. So Anthony Edwards is giving him crap and saying, bring him back. Brandon Braga's new pilot, Flash Forward, was picked up. Last show he had on the air was Threshold on CBS, which I really liked, but it lasted, what, like half a season, if that. His new series has been picked up by ABC, and it's going to be about physicists conducting a high-energy experiment accidentally caused everybody on the planet to experience 2 minutes and 17 seconds of his or her own future in 21 years hence.
Ooh, that would be...
And a lot of people were driving cars when their consciousness left their bodies for 2 minutes, so they may come back to find their cars smashed and their bodies bruised and battered and dead. So that sounds interesting. Everybody gets to see a glimpse of their future, and then they have to go back to the present. That could be interesting. Sci-Fi did order 11 more episodes of Warehouse 13 to join the 2-hour TV movie, which makes me a little nervous for the Battlestar prequel getting picked up as a series, because at one point they had said it might be an either-or situation with Warehouse 13, but I'm still confident, because there's nothing on here that says that's going to hurt Battlestar's chances, so... It's got a great team behind it. Jane Espenson from Buffy and some other people. CW, 8th season of Smallville. Yeah, there were quite a few casting changes, but I'll just save that for the review. It says it's got him thinking about Superboy. I don't see any hard evidence on why he was thinking about Superboy, but I sure hope he's wrong if he thinks Superboy's going to show up. Anyway, and the last thing I had was that spoiler page that I pulled up. And, what's Gail Howard up into in the Desperate Housewives premiere? Same thing he was up to on Queer as Folk, naked and having sex. Interesting. Is Chase and Cameron having a baby on House? I don't know. Ugly Betty Scoop.
That was when we last left off with the Ugly Betty scoop. About them not returning.
We will know what happens definitively, like where if they're ever going to do an Alex and Izzy couple for real by the end of this season premiere of Grey's Anatomy. Which is pretty cool.
Do we have anything else?
I'm scanning. Well, I'm sorry.
Wrap it up.
I know. Looks like Sarah Ramirez and Erica, I can't remember her name, are going to totally be lesbian on Grey's Anatomy for real, which I thought so. And I don't know. I think that's all I got. If I find anything else during the break, I'll bring it up at the beginning of the next part.
All right, great. And we have JT here from a song from his YouTube channel, a cover of the Galaxy song. We'll be right back right after JT.
Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, revolving at 900 miles an hour, and orbiting at 19 miles a second, so I reckon the sun that is the source of all our power. And the sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at 1,000,000 miles a day, in and out of spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of this galaxy we call the Milky Way. Well, the galaxy itself contains 100 million stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick. But out by us it's just 3,000 light years wide. 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years. And the galaxy itself is one of millions and billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Now the universe itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, that's the speed of light, you know. 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So whenever you're feeling oh so small and insecure, remember how unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space. 'Cause bugger all down here, you won't find any around here, except for maybe dolphins, and oh yeah, Stephen Hawking's. But there isn't any other intelligent life on Earth.
We're back, yes. I did find one other news tidbit that interested me, but I'll save it for when I get to the review of that show.
Okay.
Because, whatever. Will Jeff Fahey be returning to Lost? I just got to that, and he is coming back.
Yes.
Woo! That makes me very happy. Okay. And they're still auditioning for the part of Ryan on Brothers and Sisters. So that part is not yet cast, and now I'm closing the news window because I am done with the news. I got tons of freaking reviews, though. First, I do want to give you an update. Last time we spoke on the show, I had read the book Twilight and was just starting New Moon, or maybe I was halfway through New Moon. I finished New Moon, I've read Eclipse, and I'm now halfway through Breaking Dawn. And I have to say, the end of New Moon was great. The most of New Moon was kind of lame, but the end was really good, even though it kind of like went completely off track of what the whole rest of the book had been about.
Uh-huh.
And then Eclipse was pretty good. Breaking Dawn, the first section, I was debating whether or not I really liked it or not. And then whole second section of the book is told from the werewolf Jacob's perspective, which I'm like is the worst idea ever until I read it. And there's like 200 pages of Jacob's perspective, and they were really good. And now we're back to Bella's perspective, and she's just become a vampire. So I've got like 300 more pages to read from that series, and I will give you my final review on Breaking Dawn next week. Other things to review. Have you seen any of the Gates Seinfeld commercials?
Yes, I saw them unedited for the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if they were unedited, like AKA they're like the full 3 minute mm-hmm. long versions.
Yeah.
Because Felicia Day posted a link of two of them on her
Twitter. I actually caught the long versions on TV and then went on the internet and watched.
I thought the long versions were actually funny when they were 30 seconds long. Well, Let me rephrase that. I thought the 30-second one long where they're, like, in the shoe store.
The first
it's
one...
It's so weird. Was, it's funny.
No, the shoe store was stupid in short and long forms, but I liked the house one better. Where they were staying
in the house.
The house
one was great.
It's in a couple parts online where I found it, but... Anyway, at MTV Awards were kind of lame. I only got to see the highlights, but I guess...
I didn't even watch
The star of Saving Sarah Marshall, the co-star, he was Sarah Marshall, Kristen Bell's boy... You know, the rock star?
Yeah.
He's a British guy. He hosted them, and he made fun of the Jonas Brothers for being virgins and wearing their virgin rings, and then he got backlash against that, and that was the controversy there. I listened to a couple episodes of a new podcast this week called Paul and Storm Talk About Some Stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average, and they have a Felicia Day obsession, especially after watching Dr. Horrible. And I decided, and they said they routinely scan for podcasts to mention them and stuff. So I think, you know, I'm about ready to give up on Pat Godwin because it's been, you know, what, 9 months and we haven't heard from him again.
We're giving up on Pat Godwin.
I think Paul and Storm should be our new obsession because I think they may pay attention to us and write us.
Wait, who is this again?
Paul and Storm, they're comedians from Bob and Tom as well. And that's kind of why I was checking out their podcast because I was still trying to see if Bob and Tom had anything on iTunes and they really don't. And they have an obsession with Felicia Day, which makes me a good match. One of them has a very unhealthy obsession with Felicia Day. Makes them a good match with our show because we like Felicia Day. And they have her on, like, MySpace or whatever. And they talk for stuff on... They talk about stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average, but all their episodes so far have been 15 to 20 minutes, which is kind of funny. But I listened to the first, like, two or three, and I liked it. And I think we should become Paul and Storm fans now, maybe play some of their stuff.
Wait a minute. What are they called again?
Paul and Storm.
Paul, as in Paul the Prophet?
P-A-U-L.
And
Storm, S-T-O-R-M, and give a big shout-out to their podcast because it was quite entertaining. They've only put out, like, 8 episodes so far. It's still a fairly recent podcast.
Okay.
And because they're so much shorter than, you know, our podcasts and stuff, or Kevin Smith's Hour podcast, it's kind of like Kevin Smith where they just talk about whatever's on their mind, except they're not always talking about sexual stuff. In fact, their first couple episodes, they didn't talk about really anything sexual. And they're much shorter, so the doses are quite nice to take.
Hmm.
Also, did you see the William Shatner commercial, coming back to the chat, the William Shatner commercial where he was a shaman in World of Warcraft?
Yes, that was hilarious.
I agree. Which leads me right into the Saturday Night Live season premiere, because it was hosted by Michael Phelps, who did a surprisingly decent job for being an athlete.
I heard he was horrible.
He was kind of...
Because initially when you
But the episode
that,
was
like...
real... He kind of was, like, at the beginning of the show, but as the show went on, he did okay.
Uh-huh.
But what they did is the show was... excellent episode, because they didn't make the skits dependent on whether or not he was funny. He was there in a lot of sketches, but they didn't depend on him, and so it worked out quite well. But in the opening monologue, he was talking about how he needed to be very careful about what sponsors he picked, and how he wasn't going to be a sellout, and William Shatner stands up from the audience, and he's like, "You're right! You must have integrity!" And then he, like, turns to the camera and starts touting Priceline. He's like, "Priceline!" And Michael Phelps is like, "Are you just here to tout Priceline?" He's like, "Absolutely not! I have integrity, but you should just like Priceline!" And it was quite funny. They also was a quick appearance by Jared from Subway, because they did the Michael Phelps diet. And he was like, "Eat everything I eat, and then you'll be skinny." And they're like, piles and piles of food, because he's got, you know, he's an athlete. And so Jared, they like, "Here's Jared from Subway with his endorsement of this diet." And Jared's like, "Guys, seriously, this won't work for you. You'll get really fat. You're not Michael Phelps. You're not an Olympic athlete. Don't eat it." Tina Fey also guest starred, as I mentioned before, as Sarah Palin. And her opening was... her as Palin and Puller as Hillary was hilarious.
I saw that on Sarah... YouTube, very nice.
My favorite,
got yanked.
My favorite line, I can't remember the whole thing, was when Poehler was berating Palin.
Hillary.
And she's like, "Are you just going to ride your whatever, and your Tina Fey glasses in the office?" And it was Tina Fey, so that made me laugh especially hard.
Yeah. I like Craig Ferguson's little, what he makes fun of her for, which is like, "Ooh, Sarah Palin, when she has her hair all up in her face, she's like..."
Sexy librarian?
Well, sort of. She's like, "Ooh, I'm a serious politician." She then lets her hair down. "I'm sexy librarian."
And her husband's the first dude. You just know Saturday Night Live's going to pick up on that when that hit this week. So they call him the first dude. Everybody in Alaska calls him the first dude. It's so going to be on Saturday Night Live next week.
I know.
I did watch the second episode up until Weekend Update. I didn't get to watch Weekend Update yet. They aired last night.
Mm-hmm.
Hosted by James Franco. Usually I'm not real sold on James Franco, but he did a decent job. And Cameron Diaz popped back up randomly. She had done a sketch when, I think it was Justin Timberlake, because she was dating him, was hosting like last year where she played a cougar and they did this like cougar talk show. And so they did this cougar talk show again and she came back and did it for them. And Franco was her new boyfriend she brought with her.
Oh, yeah.
And that was pretty
really
funny.
I don't really care for James Franco outside the Spider-Man series, but that changed after I saw Pineapple Express. So I was like, he was the heart and... Well, really, Seth Rogen's a dick, so I thought he was the heart and soul of it.
Well, I also watched... watched is very generous. I skimmed through Gym Teacher, the movie for Nickelodeon, because it was Christopher Pallone, who I really like, and Amy Sedaris was in it, and Paul Dinelli produced it and guest starred, because it was like Strangers with Candy. Because it was like the Strangers with Candy crew and actors.
I don't care.
But oh my god, was it bad? Was it so bad? I fast forwarded through the majority of it.
That's
it
like
was
High School
really bad.
Me.
Now, see, I liked High School Musical, but I tried watching that Camp Rock or whatever that they put out after that. Oh. That was bad. That was really bad, too.
Wow. So you do have a line that...
There is a threshold.
See, there's like a threshold of how bad you can watch something and enjoy it, and then go, this is over the line of bad.
Well, and there are things that I admit that aren't, well, that aren't great, but I enjoy them for various reasons. Because the show can be bad and still be enjoyable.
Oh.
Such as High School Musical. It's not a great quality movie. It's not going to break any records or
set any
colors. It's
so cheesy, more than a musical should be.
Well, it harkens back... It's, to me, a modern-day Rodgers and Hammerstein. The Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, especially like State Fair, Carousel, the lesser-known ones, were so cheesy. And that's what it reminds me of. An old MGM musical where were never performed on stage because they were full of cheese. And that's what it reminds me of, and that's why I liked it. Because nobody had done that style of movie for a long time.
Some of them were performed on stage. Like,
but those
Oklahoma.
Tended to be... Yeah, but see, those were the good ones. There are a whole host... Like what? Okay, but for every good one,
besides
there's
State
20.
Fair, what are the really bad ones? Okay.
State Fair, Carousel.
Carousel was a huge hit.
Oh, Carousel was terrible.
Now, you know what? My mom may disagree with that, though, but you know what? You can't really say that either, because Carousel then gave us the blonde-haired girl, who then started
in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
and did a great job, and the Music Man.
And Shirley Jones.
Exactly.
And the Partridge Family.
And the Partridge Family.
Oh, yeah. Shirley Jones.
Was that the same Shirley Jones?
Yes, it is.
She must have been old when she had the Partridge Family. Anyway.
She's old now.
Well, yeah. but anyway, for every one of those musicals that you remember, like The King and I.
But besides those two.
Right.
Okay, you said three. You said it was State Fair.
I was trying to think, because I have a six-pack of Rodgers and Hammerstein. And the good ones, of course, are Sound of Music, Oklahoma, King and I.
No, not South Pacific.
South Pacific was great.
That was terrible. Yeah, okay. Okay, I was making... I mean, I don't like it.
Sound of Music, Oklahoma... Okay, of the pack, of the six-pack, the two lesser ones were State Fair and Carousel. Now, there are a host of other movies that didn't make the cut to make it into the DVD pack. And those movies...
I would like to know what those are. If you
do I still have IMDb access? Because I'm just commenting that there are a whole... MGM used to standardly make tons of musicals. Meet Me in St. Louis, The Harvey Girls, all those type of musicals. And those are musicals that never made it to the stage. Well, Meet Me in St. Louis may have. Because they just... And those are just the better known ones. There were a whole host of...
Oh, I thought you were talking about specific Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure there were.
Okay,
sure there were others of them, but I would have to look it up to know, and I do not.
Okay, well, that's fine. I was just
anyway,
a future reference.
Okay, they were just an example of a big name somebody would have heard of. But my point was, in the old days, MGM turned out cheesy musicals, dime a dozen, over and over, and they really hadn't done that in a long time.
Good Old Summertime is one.
There you go.
That turned into, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
No.
You should. You've Got Mail.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Cinderella was another Rodgers and Hammerstein one. It did make it to the stage, but it's not very good, I don't think.
Yeah, that was...
Rodgers and Hammerstein. Oh, their American Beauty soundtrack. That's them, isn't it? That they have something that they play in the American Beauty soundtrack. Okay, I'm looking at way back at their old movies.
Yeah.
Because they've got like 400 entries. We're talking about Spring Is Here, Makers of Melody, Follow Through, Heads Up, The Hot Heiress,
Love
okay,
me tonight.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay, and I can keep going.
No,
I've only covered 1930 and 1931.
I just want to know what the hell they were, because, like, seriously, we heard about all their correctly loud
absolutely
ones. But it's like, what are their bad ones?
Oh, there's a bazillion. And this is what High School Musical reminded me of, which is why I liked it.
It reminded me of the bad ones.
So, right, but they haven't done that in so long. Little update, John Adams just won for Outstanding Miniseries.
I know.
Amazing Race won for competition.
John totally nailed that, I think.
I think so. Tom Wilkinson won for John Adams.
Woo-hoo!
I thought it him.
I thought it's him or somebody else from
I don't know. Anyway, back to my reviews.
Jimmy might be cooking us food, everybody.
The Heroes DVD, which Nick never came over to.
I think after thinking about it, I think I already seen the scenario. It was like the alternate ending where
doesn't
catch the vial.
Right, they redid the whole last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was mostly the same, except for that the vial smashed, of course.
Right, and then Nathan actually doesn't get shot.
Right, but he still collapses on the podium in the middle of the speech.
Right.
Because the virus got him.
Right. And
so
like
either way.
Sneezes and walks out. Yeah, I saw
right. And so I was, well, they had that, and then they had the interview with Tim Krieg and the other two guys that do Heroes, where they talked about it and said, really, we didn't have time to turn around. We used the sets we already had. We just let the bile smash, and Nathan was taken down another way. But other than that, we kept everything like the same. He's like, it was the sets and the actors we already had that we used. And there were a couple extra scenes where they're like in the police station, Nathan was running things and they're quarantining the town.
Yeah.
And they did show a scene where the FX wasn't done.
The story
was Peter was like
bringing the
rocks down. And then they showed all the scenes they had filmed for episodes 12 and 13, which were mostly.
It's called villains.
L scene. Well, it was still going to be volume 3 called Villains, which confuses me because it was supposed to be about the vial, at least for the next 8 episodes. So I would have thought it would have been called Villains. But. They were still going to do the villain plot line mixed in with the vile stuff. So they're just dropping the disease, but they're still going to do the other plots they had planned to do.
Well, they're not totally, because apparently the premiere has a tape for Hero and Ondo. Mm-hmm. That when they put it, it's Sulu. His
George
father,
Takei. Well, George he's guest starring. Malcolm McDowell's not dead, apparently. Linderman's
no, he's
not dead.
He appears to Nathan in a dream.
Okay. Well, they...
But he tells them mm-hmm. that never, no matter what you do, mm-hmm. there's a safe in my office that is now your office. Do not, no matter what, open it. Do not even let my daughter open it. Do not let anybody open it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does he do? He opens it, and the speedster girl comes and steals it, and it's half of a formula. If you mix the formula together with what Angela Petrelli's formula is, mm-hmm. it could bring another disaster and destroy the world.
Well,
so that's what half of it is.
Most of the scenes from episode 12, which was the one they were in the production, because they always make 3 episodes at a time to try to keep it going, were Elle hunting down Siler, because that was her new job.
Right.
Kristen Bell. And then the final scene they have for episode 13... which was the next episode they had just started work on, said spoiler alert all over it, so apparently they're going to keep that plot. But it was a dream that Angela Petrelli was having when she was in the back of a car, and she was walking down the hall, and she looked over, and Maya was dead, and the black cousin and the little boy were dead, and Peter was dead, laying against the wall, moaning. He wasn't quite dead, but he was near death.
Gone, yeah.
They were all, like, dead, and she turns around, and there's David Anders... it was Kenzie, Greg Grunberg's father, the Haitian, and a fourth villain that we had already seen before. I can't remember who. And she gasps, and then there's a hand on her shoulder, and she whirls, and there's Siler. And that was going to be, like, the 5 major villains that they had introduced. And that's not even going down to level 5. So it really makes me wonder what this is going to be, because right after they showed her, like, flash and stuff, they started flashing spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Wow.
I would love if David Anders came back out of the coffin where he left because he's still alive.
He comes back.
Is he staying as a permanent cast member? Because I was rewatching, and him and Kristen Bell were in the opening credits of the last few episodes. Because I rewatched the finale and some others. And I don't think Kristen Bell is staying permanent, because I have heard the rumors that she's going to be killed off, but she said she'd still be on the show a lot doing flashbacks to know that she already knew everybody.
I think Skylar kills her. But the thing is that Skylar is working with HRG to help Petrelli, Mama Petrelli.
They said there'd be some interesting liaisons we didn't expect. But anyway, the alternate stuff was pretty cool. If you haven't seen it,
but
get the DVD, check it out.
David Anders out and gets his Kaiser Sensei.
I figured they would. Skylar,
of course, he's really pissed.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But apparently, the Skylar we see in this
Siler.
Season, Siler, whatever, I don't care.
I know.
His character reverts back to the Watchmaker a bit in terms of his mentality, where he's not...
They can't bring his mom back because she's on Pushing Daisies.
Well, I've heard that she shows up for like a second.
Oh, that'd be cool. She's not. She's just one of the ants on Pushing Daisies. She could take a day off of filming and go do Heroes.
Oh yeah, but we don't want her to. But we do the ant. We don't mind either.
No, we don't mind. She can. We'll give her a day off.
Okay, so
that won't even make her sell an episode. Oh, I still have tons of reviews. We're just touching the surface.
I know.
Fringe premiered, and Nick and I have both been kind of lackluster with it.
Well,
the ratings have been lackluster too. The
no,
critics
it's not.
Are raving, but they only got 9 million viewers.
They just got they House had 13.5 million viewers. Mm-hmm. Fringe jumped up to 14.
Okay, that was the second week. So first week they only had 9 million, and they were very disappointed. What they were expecting, 9 million was a huge disappointment.
Well, I don't care.
But the 14 million helps. That makes me.
Fox has not had a show do that big of a jump, and since 1991 on any show.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't see the second week ratings, so I appreciate.
They just came out today on IMDb. Okay. That's the only reason why. I just remember I was like, really?
Because they were already kind of regretting, and I was worried it would affect Dollhouse if Fringe crashes and burns. That gives me hope.
Well, my problem is that
with the limited commercials and stuff, I didn't want them to take that away from Joss.
Well, my problem with the pilot was I didn't like Josh. I didn't think the character that Joshua Jackson was playing. I don't mind Joshua Jackson. That's first off. I think he's a good actor. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff he was doing, he's fine in the show and the pilot. But I didn't like him. Like it sounded very fake when he would call like somebody, "Hey babe, hey whatever." Even if he was trying to fake it, or if he wasn't, it sounded so
out of frame
for him. Like I don't care if he was doing another role altogether. If he even would try to say that, it would just sound very wrong.
Yeah, but he dropped that in the second episode.
Well, no, of course he did.
Well,
the pilot I didn't like is that at the very end they had the whole thing, which is, "So I guess you're leaving." Yeah, after we saw everything that happened, I'm not coming here. Then there's a silence, and she gives him that big pouty, "But you should stay, look." And then because it's a pilot, he goes, I guess we will. And you're just like, what the fuck? Apparently, they reshot that scene, like, multiple times. I fucking wonder why. But
the cheesy part of the second episode, the thing I hated most about the series so far was the second episode. The very beginning when his dad's like, "I couldn't sleep. The crazy guy used to sing 'Row, Row Your Boat.'" I'm like, fuck it. The end is going to be Josh Jackson singing 'Row, Row Your Boat' to get to sleep. And it was.
That was cliche.
It was totally.
I thought it was sweet, though, how they did it. Because,
well, yeah, I didn't mind it so much if it actually happened, but I called it at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But that was how it was going to end. But the three lead characters, Anna Torv, Joshua Jackson, and the guy from Lord of the Rings, I can't remember his name, who plays Joshua Jackson's father, they're all...
That is who the fuck he is. I kept watching, I'm like, and I didn't want to look on IMDb, I'm like, I'm going to get that fucker.
Return of the King.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Yondor. Three of them are so solid.
Oh, I just feel
so... The supporting cast haven't won me over yet, but the three of them are so solid, and the scenes that are just them interacting, I really love.
Best moment in the entire series so far, even though it's two episodes.
Of the entire series of 3 hours.
No, which I think is hilarious, which I was dying laughing when it happened. He goes, "Where's your father?" "Oh, he's in the car. Won't you should get him out." No, he's checking out.
That was episode two. The seat warmer.
The seat warmer.
It warms your ass. I've never seen a feature
Have you tried it? And the guy who was on Lost, who's now on Friends, he goes, "Okay." I was dying laughing.
I think with those three lead characters being so strong, even though the plot hasn't hooked me in the first two episodes, I think potential.
It feels like X-Files, which is...
I only saw a handful of X-Files episodes.
But that's the thing. Did you feel... Guess what happened in every episode? There was a weird thing that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Scully goes, "I don't believe any of this is happening." And Mulder goes, "I believe, Scully. I believe." And then at the end of it, Scully maybe sort of believes a little bit more than she did before, but not really. And then you know what? 2 years down the road, the same series, a different episode, new things are going on, same plot.
Well, what I've read in critics' review is it's like X-Files, but with better defined major main characters.
Well, I hope so. And actually, I do think they are doing something.
I mean, they're trying not to make it too serial like Lost, and for fear of not keeping a fan base, but there is a serial aspect with the pattern. And unlike X-Files...
Personally, I think it would be a flaw.
There will be some major series arcs.
I think it would be a flaw to not make it... To make it a procedural like it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Pushing Daisies right now, which is... Pushing Daisies is so charming, unless... I heard they made changes to it.
I'm sure they did.
To make it less quirky as it was, which I think is its charm.
Yeah.
And if it loses that, then it becomes another boring procedural show.
Right.
Same thing with this.
I don't think the show will ever be a procedural show. It puts out the persona like it is to draw viewers in, but then you watch it and it's not, is what I'm getting out of it.
I don't know, but I think they need to not make it, like, keep make it serial.
Yeah, serial's the way I prefer all shows, but...
Well, I mean, some procedurals, mm-hmm. like, I don't really care about, like,
Monk.
No, actually, every week I deal on canceling Monk. But now South Psych, on the other hand.
Which we'll talk about. Okay, we can talk about now. Okay. I was going to do all the series premieres first and then work our way to the finales, but we can jump to Psych. The finale with Alan
Gary
Rickman.
Cole and Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck. Oh, why did I write Rickman? I'm like, Rickman's not right. I was staring at my screen.
You're like,
Alan Ruck and Gary Cole.
When did I hear a big, large British man?
Alan Ruck and Gary Cole, I thought it was fantastic. I really loved it. And Gary Cole, I think, will be returning.
Thank God for that.
I love Gary Cole.
I love Gary
Always
Cole.
Have.
But
not the same Gary Cole that voices Space Ghost and Harvey. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, because I was watching a table read of Space Ghost, and it clearly was not him at all. This is the Gary Cole from, like, The West Wing and stuff. There's two different Gary Coles.
I'm telling you, it's the
I'm
same
I'm telling you
Gary...
it's not. I will...
Oh, okay.
You do it. You IMDb.
All right, fine.
I'll
be proven wrong.
But
by
I loved
myself.
It. And while we're on USA, what did you think of Burn Notice and the Tim Matheson, which is a West
that
Wing?
That was... Well, Tim Matheson starred my friend on Animal House.
Tim Matheson was the episode before the finale, but I watched the last two episodes. I liked it quite a bit. See, that's not Space Ghost. That's the
oh, I know.
Other Gary
okay,
Cole.
But that's not no.
It's not the Harvey Birdman Space Ghost.
Yes,
Gary
it
Cole.
Is Harvey Birdman.
Uh-huh.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. 39 episodes, 2000.
Okay, is it Space Ghost?
Suck it, bitch.
Are they different than Space Ghost?
You're
different.
Okay,
Gary Cole?
You're thinking of Gary Coleman.
No, that's Different Strokes. Gary Coleman's from Different Strokes. Because I was watching Space Ghost, I thought that was the same Gary
okay,
Cole
okay,
thing.
I'm sorry, let me rephrase this. I am thinking of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
No, that's a, no, no, my God, that's George Lowe.
Why did I think they were the same?
Because there is an actual guy, he's really
there
old.
Was a Harvey Birdman on Space Ghost, it was not Gary Cole. Tim Matheson did Space Ghost.
Gary Owens played the original Space Ghost. That's a
okay.
Gary. That's the only person...
Oh, no, Tim Matheson is in the original Space Ghost in the 60s.
Tim Matheson?
Yep.
What?
He played Jace for 6 episodes back in 1966.
Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
No, I just randomly... He's the first name on the list.
Revelations!
Gary Owens is the narrator.
Revelations!
Okay, so I was wrong on one count, but not wrong on another, I guess.
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
That is the same Gary Cole?
Yeah, because he also does the voice of Kim Possible's dad in Kim Possible.
Okay.
And that's how I started realizing that he might be the dad. I was like, that sounds like him, but no, it's not.
For some reason,
was.
I got into my head that Gary Cole
wrong.
Was on Space Ghost.
It's okay to be wrong.
Oh, I am often wrong. George Lowe, yes, okay, and C. Martin Croker. I'm often wrong. I admit it when I'm wrong. When I'm proven wrong, I'm like...
I do, too. Wrong. I just want to throw it out there, though.
I know.
Okay.
And Andy Merrill, of course.
Hey, everybody.
Anyway.
We got reviews.
Back to reviews.
Yeah, we're like 55 minutes in.
Oh, wow. We still got lots to do. I watched the series premiere of Do Not Disturb. Lame. Like, I liked the lead actors, but it was just so lame, so I canceled my season. I didn't set a season pass. I only record the pilot. And I decided not to watch past the pilot.
I didn't
Even though
it,
I like
so.
The Renisha Williams, and I like, what's the other guy? Jerry O'Connell. I like them, but it wasn't good by any means. I agreed with the review that said Niecy Nash and Jerry O'Connell were great, but they need a better vehicle. Let's see. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia had their season premiere. That was hilarious. They tried to eat, become a cannibal. That was funny. And then the other episode, because they aired two episodes. Well, they did the manhunt for one. That was the cannibal one. And now my mind drew a blank on the second episode, but I remember really laughing and thinking it was very funny.
And there you
go. I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Oh, the other series premiere I watched was Privileged, which I liked. Oh, Paul Giamatti just won for John Adams.
Yep.
I liked Privileged, not as much as my roommate did, but it's getting a lot of good press that it's like the new Gossip Girl on 90210, but better than those two shows.
Really?
I know, because
yeah.
The other two shows have bigger audiences, but Privileged, according to the critical reviews I've read, said that it's a superior show, and the Columbus Dispatch reviewer really likes her, and
that right there tells us that's where it's at.
That's not the only source, anyway.
Anyway.
Privileged.
It's the only one you seem to name.
Yes, it is, because it's late, and I'm tired, and the longer the show goes on, the less I can think. But it was good. It's like, they said, what if Rory Gilmore babysat rich brats? Anyway, I watched the season premiere of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and Ryan Austin Green is now a full-time cast member. It was cool. It was badass.
I heard it was badass, but was the badass. Ratings are horrible.
Aww.
They're saying that it's probably going to be canceled by half season. Yes.
Because it did good last year, but it only did 6 episodes and then were gone.
It doesn't really matter what it does the year before. It matters what it does this year.
But they only did 6 episodes or something like that. So that's, or 9,
did
whatever.
9, yeah.
9, whatever. The girl from Serenity was all evil and tried to kill him, and then John Connor was in love with her, and it was good. It was totally badass. Swingtown did their season, possibly series finale. It was kind of a disappointment. People did things that they shouldn't have done. People cheated on spouses when they shouldn't have. And I was disappointed about Swingtown season finale.
It's a show about swinging.
I know, but until...
And people cheated.
No, the swinging is not cheating because the couples willingly participate with other couples. And Mark Valley's been on that too, and he wasn't doing Fringe and Boston Legal and whatever.
Some people are just...
Which, by the way, Mark Valley wasn't in the second episode of Fringe, but he's still in the opening credits, so clearly her partner's not dead.
Well, apparently the screener that went out, like on the internet or whatever, mm-hmm. apparently there was a scene that was cut out of the pilot
mm-hmm.
where he's like, you remember how they make the point where if he's dead for only so many hours, you can bring him back to life?
Right.
Apparently it got moved to the second episode after it got cut from the pilot.
And then they
cut it out altogether.
Okay, well, because they mentioned something in the first episode about that, and his name was still in the opening credits of episode 2. So
right,
I'm assuming he'll be back here real soon
mm-hmm.
by episode 3 or 4.
Oh, actually, he was in the episode for like maybe 30 seconds.
Just
a flashback.
No, only when it said previously on. That was the only part of the episode he was in.
Yeah. Oh no! Wait a minute. No. There was a flashback when she was reading through the notes. They were doing like interstitials, cuts away from like what she was thinking
that.
Of,
mm.
and like what he said to her in bed.
Okay.
Because then that later tied into the fact that it's like when she has the nightmare there at the
okay, I think you're right.
place about having the baby.
Of course you're right. I'm wrong. As usual.
No, I'm not saying I'm okay.
Glenn Close just won for damages. I think I called her. And Alec Baldwin won for 30 Rock.
Oh, that is awesome.
Anyway, back to our reviews. My last TV review before we do our coup de resistance or peace de resistance. I mixed up two of my foreign phrases. Peace de resistance.
Damn it,
Smallville,
Jimmy, you messed it up.
Smallville came back from their 8th season premiere. Major casting changes. We knew Lex was gone. Lana's gone. I guess she's going to show up for like 4 or 5 episodes mid-season. But she's gone for now. She's out of the theme song. And Supergirl's gone. They never tied up what happened to her. They thought Brainiac kidnapped her, and then they found out, no, Brainiac was posing as her. So they never did find out what happened to Supergirl, but she's gone.
No one cares.
No, I really don't care. I think they'll go back to it eventually, though. It opened with the fortress had been destroyed, which was the end of last season. And Lex and Clark were in the fortress. And Clark's powers were taken away.
I got a news update.
Yes.
I forgot to totally update. And they took it off, I think, Ain't It Cool.
Mm-hmm.
There is a rumor
mm-hmm.
that Bryan Singer has been removed off Superman. They're doing a reboot, which we mentioned, I think, before.
Yeah.
The Coen brothers are the directors.
Interesting.
Which could be interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
I'm sure Lex will return to the series eventually for the finale, because what is going on right now is Clark was found powerless in Russia. And Green Arrow came and rescued him, and Green Arrow is a full-time cast member now, which was great, because he was only in a couple episodes last year, but the year before he was in half of them, and I like that Justin Hartley plays him, and he's really good. And so they're bringing the Justice League plot more forward. Aquaman and Black Canary and Martian Manhunter all guest starred in the season premiere, too. And so they're going to definitely bring the... Plus, Clark decided to sell the farm in Smallville and move to Metropolis, and he got a job at Daily Planet working next to Lois Lane, who's working at the Daily Planet now. So their desks are side by side. We thought Chloe was arrested by the government at the end of the season, but in fact she was arrested and captured by Lex employees. And they also captured Black Canary and Aquaman throughout the episode and brainwashed Green Arrow to try to kill Clark. But of course they saved Green Arrow and they saved everybody and got him out. And Chloe did accept Jimmy Olsen's proposal, so they're engaged now. And then Martian Manhunter flew Clark's mortal body up to the sun and made him superpowered again, which took away Martian Manhunter's powers. So, for now, he's not going to be on the show, because he's like, I'm just going to go quietly away, because I've served my purpose and protected you. Because the sun gives Clark his powers, but takes away Martian Manhunter's powers.
Ooh.
It does the opposite effect to him. So that was why they did that. But Lex is missing, too. They were looking for Clark, and they found Clark, but nobody knows what happened to Lex Luthor. The last name I saw was he's in the fortress.
but even though they searched the fortress site with the best technology available, there's no human remains where the fortress stood. So Lex is missing, and there's a new, like, female Lex who now runs the company, and she's in the theme song as a new cast member, and she's bent on finding Lex. And she also shut down the project that captured Chloe, because that was another rogue under her, and she killed him. And she's going to be as heartless as Lex, but she keeps saying her goal is to find Lex, not to take over the company. And the third main new cast member wasn't even in the premiere, he was just in the theme song, so I have no idea who the hell he is. Like, who's this guy in the theme song? And then he wasn't in the episode.
I gotta love a show that I just don't like.
It's really good. And Chloe has a new power. Not only can she heal now, and she couldn't heal Clark as a mortal, by the way. Her power didn't work, Clark. She's now super smart, and they were having her decode, like, text that was flying by the screen.
Wow.
And they're not sure what's going on that. And so now Clark is Daily Planet. Yep, that's all the news I have in Smallville. But it was a good season premiere, because the sucky parts about last year were Lana, who's well past lived her usefulness, and keeping Clark stuck in Smallville with Lana was killing the show, and bringing on Supergirl was the worst idea they ever had. They ditched Supergirl, and Lana's gone because she left at the end of last season, even though she's coming back for 4 episodes for who knows why. Mm. But she left Clark because she said, "I'll always want you, but the world needs you more." And then at the end of the episode, Clark's put on his jacket, and Green Arrow's like, "You're going to help?" Clark's like, "We're going to find Lex and take down the company." And Green Arrow's like, "We? Are you finally decided to join us?" Because Clark kept resisting joining with the Justice League, and even though they're not calling themselves that yet. And Clark's like, "I don't know, maybe." And Black Canary's like, "Maybe you'll make a homemade suit and start flying around like the rest of us." And I'm like, oh, that was a little cheesy, but it was still fun. So, anyway.
Good.
It was good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And our final review is a movie that's not even out yet, and we saw it 2 weeks ago,
oh
so it's
my
a
God.
Shame.
I keep forgetting this, because
it's a
we
shame.
Did it last
well,
week. Yeah.
Well, it's a shame we didn't do a podcast last week, because the movie, we saw it 2 weeks ago, and the movie still didn't come out for 2 or 3 more weeks.
Two more weeks.
So we've got early scoop, which hopefully we'll be doing more of
yeah,
these
well,
early
we're
scoops.
Doing we might have a score that will give us, matter of fact, we may or may not, it depends if we can work it out or not, or actually it's more general.
If you tell them that I'm going to review it next week, it'll never happen.
I'm not saying that you are going. I'm saying we might have.
Don't even mention it.
We
or
might have a review of the movie next
doing
week.
I won't.
Or not next week.
You'll
week
curse
after.
Us. You'll curse us if you tell. Never mind. Anyway, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yes, I enjoyed it greatly.
I did too, but as I was driving home, I thought of a list of things of what I would have done to make the movie better.
Which are?
I'm having very trouble remembering them 2 weeks later, but the one I thought most to me that would have made the movie better
was taking out the gum thing.
Okay, the gum falling in the toilet. Yes, but I wasn't going to say that because I understood why they did it. And I also still am confused on that last line. I think there was a scene missing.
I
weird.
Think, okay, after replaying this in my head,
it, but they were
I
there.
Think after that little thing happened at the
they
end,
walked
they walked away, which I thought
yeah,
was stupid.
They didn't,
but they, the editing scene made it look confusing.
It, looked,
like
it was
just
really
walked
confusing.
Away from the group,
anyway,
yeah.
Michael Cera, fantastic other girl. The main thing I would have changed is to not make her a fucking somebody, record company exec's daughter, because it seemed unnecessary, and it's like, when they do movies like that, somebody's gotta be someone, and so she was like this big record exec's daughter, and that was the so, like, the big letdown, anticlimactic mystery as to who she was.
Well, I
and
think,
I think
tried
the movie would have been better without that
well,
erroneous subplot.
Apparently, I read a review online, and the book, apparently, it was a mystery. Like, mm-hmm. No one knew what... They never came out right and said it, and so they were trying to pay homage to the book.
They did it completely wrong, then. But even on the book, I think it's... Why does everybody have to be somebody? I think that movie would have been
well, it's
served
a teen
better.
Movie. It's a teen
the
movie.
Story would have been served better if she wasn't somebody, if she was just a normal girl.
I mean, come on. Like, American Pie, everybody...
Oh, and the ex-girlfriend was a little too much of a cliche.
No, well, it's a teen movie.
But
see, I cringe at some of that stuff, too.
But they were cliches. Michael Cera wasn't a cliche. His gay friends were not cliches for the most part.
Oh, his gay friends were hilarious.
They were the best part of the movie, but they weren't cliches for the most
Actually,
part.
Actually, I thought that
they were
second.
They were the
minor
two.
Only because the blonde girl... Now,
the blonde girl was awesome.
The blonde girl was
awesome. The gum in the toilet.
No, except for that in the toilet.
It was really, for a minute, I thought the movie was really about the gum's journey. Because after it got out of the toilet, it made it back to her mouth. After all the crap the gum had been through, it made it back to her mouth. Then it was in her friend's mouth. Then it was in Michael Cera's mouth. I'm like, this movie's about the gum.
Nick and Nora's
infinite gum.
Infinite gum. But
overall, I really enjoyed it, though. I'm not bad. I mean, there were things that would have changed, I think, but I'm not saying that's a bad movie. I'm not
The beginning also started off a little. I mean, actually, once you got away from Michael Cera at home, it got really slow. Where you went to school because you had to set up the relationship with the kids, and I was like, there had to have been a better way to set that up.
And it was also way too coincidental that the CDs that she just happened to be throwing in the trash happened to be the guy she made out with at the club. There was some, that was also on my list.
But can I also just say, though, after the last year, I have ran into situations where it is totally 6 degrees of separation. And so I used to think the same thing.
But to have it all happen in one night was too much. If they had spread it out, it may have been more believable.
Well, but here's the thing, though. For our knowledge, in terms of everything that happened in a night, the CD things have been happening for a while.
Right, but...
Because that was like, she had like 12 volumes of Nick stuff.
That's true.
Because, okay, for those who don't know anything about Nick and Nora, have you not seen any of the ads on TV? What's it they've sort of done, not really
they're
a lot yet.
Yeah,
they're just trying to gear it up. The whole movie's about this kid who got broken up with his girlfriend. He's depressed. He's also in a band. He goes to a club to play for a band, and some girl there, you know, trying to make her ex-boyfriend jealous, kisses him.
Yeah,
and he acts like
it's Michael Cera, so he acts like Michael Cera.
Yeah, he acts like Michael Cera, which is
the same thing Michael Cera does.
I really don't know who this girl is, but yeah, she's my girlfriend to make you jealous. And then from there, the two share a night together that will change their lives. Supposedly, I don't know.
Yeah, parts of it were a little.
The thing that I really absolutely hated is there because it comes from left field, and maybe there might be some more to it. And I didn't mind the other cliches, which is the girlfriend saying nasty things to the guy to Michael Cera, like
doing the dance
overly
out by the car and stuff. What got to me is too much.
Oh, I enjoyed the scene, but
it
fucking left her.
Yeah,
because I'm like
totally un-Michael Cera like thing to do.
But that's all. Now, if he would have just sat there and then like had sex with her or something,
it
would have been cliche.
It would have been even more cliche though if he had never got the car with her, if he had stayed in the van, because he would have already learned his lesson.
Yeah, but that's not a movie. A character has to go a journey.
Uh-huh.
No, but the thing that really bothered me, which didn't feel like it fit at all with the movie, and I know is probably fan service to the book, which is, and I've not heard anything about that in terms of the book, which is the whole comment. I hear that, you know, there's a rumor that you don't have orgasms. I'm just like.
And then Michael Cera gave her her first orgasm.
First orgasm. And they record it.
And then what the hell is up with she got some and he did it? He totally just fingered her. She never even touched him.
I don't know. I thought
his clothes were still fully on, completely unrumpled. And she just had her pants in mud and he just stuck her hands down the front of her pants.
You know what? Kat Dennings has a website. We should totally email her and say, because she does video blogs the whole works. Just say,
really?
Bitch, what's up? Did you get fingered or did you get fucked?
Fingered. Totally fingered.
Totally fingered, okay.
I thought it was going to a fuck scene, but when they came back to it afterwards, I definitely thought it was a fingered scene.
You know, like, the actual scene itself was really well done, considering.
I really liked the whole following the cord around. That was cool.
And then, that's what I'm saying, like, the whole presentation. And, like, you see, like, the recording monitor, like, her peaking when she orgasms. And I was like, cinematically, like, that's really a neat way to show orgasm without actually showing the girl.
I have criticisms about the movie, but overall, it was a very good movie. So
the question is, now that you saw a preview, would you maybe see even at a dollar theater?
See it again?
Yeah.
I'd see it if you had it on DVD. If it was a dollar theater and, like, Morgan wanted to go see it or something, I probably would. I wasn't anxious to go watch it again, like, right away, like you were. I was kind of like, it was good.
I can wait a while before I watch it.
I know. But I guess
I just try to see your mind thought process because, like, American Pie.
I loved American Pie. I saw American Wedding 3 times in theaters the first week.
And the whole thing with the character eating shit did not. It was so gross, but like the whole thing with the toilet was even more gross than that.
I could live without ever seeing the movie again.
That makes okay.
But if I was given the opportunity to see it again, I would. I'm not sure I would buy it.
See, I would totally buy it.
I know you would.
And actually, I wouldn't mind reading the book to see what the differences are.
I would like to read the book.
And I'm also, you know what it also reminded me of? A book I also love? I Love You, Beth Cooper.
I Love You, Beth Cooper, which is going to be a
which we did discuss it, yes, which...
Oh, that's awesome.
Chris Columbus is doing that.
Yes.
Oh, I hope he doesn't fuck it up. He's going to fuck
it up. I
don't
think he will. I think it'll be...
No, I think he'll fuck it up. Have you seen Jingle All the Way?
Yeah, I tried to block that part of my brain.
Yeah, and also, we all like to say you think it's a great movie, but the first Home Alone, it's not a good movie.
I haven't watched it in so long, but 15 years.
See, that's the difference between the old John Hughes movies and, like, the newer ones, except for Dutch. They all suck.
Anyway. Next week, we'll have my review of the finale of the Twilight series, Breaking Dawn.
Maybe.
I'm, like, 300 pages from the end. It'll be there.
Then, well, if you'll be here, sure.
Oh, okay. If I'm not here, anything I have, I will email Nick. Here, these things...
So can we sit there and, like, you know, do Jimmy voice and then go, well, our thoughts are...
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
I will enjoy that immensely.
I will, too. We will.
Also, I'm going to talk up Paul and Storm some more since they're my new favorite comedians. Sorry, Pat Godwin, you've been bumped a second, unless you want to email us and regain your top spot.
Pat Godwin does not fucking care about it.
I know, but Paul and Storm might. They seem cool enough.
You know what we should call this episode? Pat Godwin doesn't give a shat.
This! Pat Godwin doesn't give a shat. But, and then in parentheses, but Paul and Storm might.
Oh my god, sweet Jesus. Okay.
Also, hopefully I'll get to the finale of The Secret Life of the American Teenager, the season finale, because I'm not there yet. Still haven't got to the Kathy Griffin My Life on the D-List finale yet. I need to get to that. Hopefully I'll have some reviews of some House that I've caught up on. And we'll have the season premieres of The Big Bang Theory, My Name is Earl, 30 Rock, among other things. And the Emmy Awards. Who won everything? Who won our contest? Who's going to be cooking dinner? We won't be cooking dinner next Sunday night.
No, it might actually
be. Oh, Tina Fey won for 30 Rock. Bryan Cranston won for Breaking Bad. Little.
EW said that he would win for Breaking Bad.
Did I vote for him? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't think I did. I'm pretty sure I voted for Glenn Close. I think we all voted for Tina Fey.
I thought
we did. Anyway, that's all I've got.
Okay.
Do you have anything else? Did you want to talk about the House premiere? You probably watched that.
No, I've not watched it yet, but I will watch it by next week.
So next week we'll have House premiere.
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully.
And actually the second episode, too.
Ooh, with Felicia Day.
Yeah, I thought Felicia Day was this week.
No, Felicia Day's episode 2. Oh. They ran her in all the previews because of the success of Dr. Horrible, but on her Twitter, she stated that she wasn't in until episode 2.
Oh, that's right, that's right. I remember reading the Twitter about it.
You got to be as obsessed with Felicia Day as Paul and Storm are.
Well, thank you, Paul and Storm. You are our heroes.
Woohoo! Paul and Storm!
All right, is that it?
That's all I got.
All right, and we're done. We'll be back next week. Sans Jimmy or with Jimmy?
Right, cold Jimmy.
Cold and what?
Cold, like Spanish for wind. Sans or cone, you have to keep it in the...
Oh, sweet.
We're mixing foreign languages. Bye.
Get out of here with that cheese! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, cheapers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!